Welcome to the Big MIG Talk Radio Show, broadcasting live from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado. We are the tip of the spear, cutting through the noise and delivering an hour of unfiltered news, guests, and truth that transcends boundaries and unites the nation. This is the Big MIG Talk Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Big MIG Talk Radio Show with your hosts, Lance Migliaccio and George Ballantine. We are the tip of the spear. Our plan is to educate and unify the country one episode at a time. Better to be hugged by the truth than comforted with a lie. Brought to you live from Denver, Colorado and New York City. Good morning, George. How goes the fight, brother? How goes it?
Good morning, Lance, and good morning to all our Big MIG Talk Radio listeners. It's a beautiful Saturday morning over here in New York City. Sun's out. I'm working off a few hours sleep, though, but you know what? I will not disappoint. We never do.
Yeah, your family had a big, you had a big night last night. You had a big wedding in your family, huh? It sounds like everybody from around the country was there, huh?
Around the world, more or less. Yeah, we had like a little over 350 come in.
Wow. Crazy. Yeah. That's a lot of family members. It's great to get everybody together. I've never had a situation like that in my family, but that's really special. So what time did you finally lock down and you had to get up early this morning? What time did you finally get home?
So they had an after hours party after the wedding. So didn't finish till like 2 a.m. By the time I got home, it takes me a little time to wind down. The sleep and I don't get along is a known fact. So I don't know. I'm working off a few hours sleep here.
You had to hit some of that Beard Vet energy to keep going that late? Because I know you don't drink, so obviously you had to give yourself some kind of fuel.
No, I didn't bring it with me, but you know what? There's a nice espresso machine where I just make my own espressos.
Yeah, no kidding. You probably had quite a few of those to keep it locked and loaded. Yeah. Over here, the weather sucks. It's rainy and cold, man. Yesterday we saw some hail, but it's just cold and clammy out, and it's going to be like that the whole weekend here. I planned on working on the yard, but that's not going to happen. So, listen, I don't know if you caught this, George. Tucker Carlson, and dug in deep on this, says there's a poll that was done that proves widespread election fraud. I pulled this up last night, and I've got to tell you, these are some really damning details that people answered this poll anonymously, but pretty incredible. About 1 in 5 mail-in ballots in the last election were fraudulent, handing Biden the presidency, which, of course, we know that there was rampant election fraud on the side of the Democrats. And not that I think that both sides haven't been using it one time or another, but this poll, and Tucker covers it pretty well. We've got a sound bite, but it's crazy. They're saying the 2020, and they're saying talking about how you might be able to stop it. So this is the Heartland Institute and Rasmussen Reports. So this is kind of a landmark survey of voters. And then, of course, this is the biggest story of the year, in my opinion. The numbers are damning, but let's listen to Tucker, and then we'll go back through the numbers just so the listeners can hear this. I'm actually shocked how big the numbers are, George.
It is kind of shocking. Not surprising, though, but shocking. Not surprising, because we know there was rampant election fraud, fake ballots, ballots being mailed to addresses, fake addresses, that there's no house there, and multiple ballots. So, I mean, question is, what's going to be done about it? That's where we're at in this dilemma, but we're going to play this soundbite and see what Tucker has to say.
It's now apparently a criminal offense, a felony in this country, to suggest the 2020 presidential campaign was not on the level. That crime appears to form the basis of one of Donald Trump's pending indictments. He's an election denier. But actually, it's worth denying the legitimacy of that election because it was not fair. Critical information was withheld from voters through censorship and, yes, by the government. That is a fact. It's also a fact that Mark Zuckerberg spent $400 million to control voting in various places around the country and affect the outcome. That's not legitimate. It was also conducted in many places through electronic voting machines. And no country should ever use electronic voting machines because fundamentally they cannot be trusted. Why would you trust it? But then there's the question of outright cheating, voter fraud. Was there voter fraud? Well, we know there was some, but was it widespread? That is a hard allegation to prove, though, of course, many people believe there was widespread fraud. Well, now it turns out We know for a fact that there was. And in fact, it can be proven with a poll. Just ask people, did you personally commit voter fraud? Well, that has just been done. And the answer is a huge percentage of people asked in the poll admitted, yes, I committed voter fraud. It's remarkable. Justin Haskins is a senior fellow at the Heartland Institute. He joins us now with details. Justin, thanks so much for coming on. If you could just start by giving us the results, the shocking results of this poll, and we'll go from there.
Sure. So it was pretty straightforward. We asked people a series of questions. The first of which is, or one of the first questions was, did you vote in the 2020 election, and did you vote with an absentee ballot? And if they answered yes to both of those questions, then we asked a bunch of questions related to voter fraud. We didn't tell them that we were asking, did you commit voter fraud? We just asked them about various behaviors. So for example, we asked people, did you vote in a state where you're no longer a legal resident? That's a pretty straightforward question. If you're not a permanent resident of a state, you can't vote there. 17% of people, nearly one in five, said yes, they did do that. We asked people, did you fill out a ballot for someone else on their behalf? That's also illegal. You're not allowed to fill out someone else's ballot. 21% of people said yes to that question. We asked if people forged the signature of a friend or family member on their behalf, with or without their permission. We actually put that in the poll question, and 17% of people said yes to that. So all told, it's at least, and I say at least, one in five mail-in ballots involved some kind of fraudulent activity. But we didn't just stop there. We also asked everyone whether they voted via mail-in ballot or not, so in-person voting as well. Do you know anyone who personally, in your personal life, a friend, a family member, acquaintance, someone from work, has anyone ever admitted to you that they did one of these kinds of forms of voter fraud? And 10% and 11%, we asked two different questions on that, said, yes, people admitted to me that they committed voter fraud.
Thanks a lot for watching us on X. There is a lot more to see.
Yeah, pretty amazing, you know, when you think about it.
You know, it's disgusting, actually. At the end of the day, that's not a free and fair election. And let's review a couple of those numbers, George, because I think they're really damning. 17% of mail-in voters admitted that in 2020, they voted in a state where they are no longer a permanent resident. You know, that's a gigantic number, 17%, isn't it?
Yeah, if you just take it to that percentage alone could just sway the election right there.
No doubt. I mean, if everybody that voted, 17% of them voted in a state they were no longer a permanent resident, which has got to do with the voter rolls. You and I have been talking constantly on our show over on Rumble and Locals about how we think the voter rolls are just a disaster. Now, listen to this next number.
Wait, hold on, Lance. Before you go forward with that, here's a question.
Yeah.
With those 17% of mail-in voters admitted that they voted in a state where they are no longer permanent resident, did they also vote in a state where they're living, where they are a resident?
No, man,
yeah, because now you have to calculate that, because then you have 17% of that. I mean, so now they're double voting regardless, which is a crime in itself.
Yeah. So. I have no idea. I don't know if they covered that. I want to find this poll because I think it's quite interesting. Now, listen to this next number. 21% of mail-in voters admitted that they filled out a ballot for a friend or family member.
Well, I'm on the fence on this one because— Listen, my parents are in their 80s. They needed help filling it out. So I'm gonna do what I got to do here. So I sat next to my dad. I read him the question. I gave him his answers. Which one do you want? And I helped him out because he's just old.
Yeah. No, I get that. I get that. Although you have to wonder, the real follow-up to that would have been, how many of them did the friend or family member know? Did you do it knowingly, kind of like you did? You were helping your dad because he was a little bit unable to do it. Or did they just do it for him and send it in and say, oh, no, I never saw your ballot. And they just sent it in without asking him and did what they wanted to do with the ballot.
I agree. They should have did a follow-up question on that. Just so you get a more accurate number. I don't know why they didn't, but, you know, polls and stuff. But
well, this one kind of does cover that. Listen to this. 17% of mail-in voters said they signed a ballot for a friend or family member with or without his or her permission. So there's the semi-follow-up of what we wanted to know.
But it says with or without. So I would like to. I would like to know the part
without.
So
yeah,
an instance like say my father, mother. I sat them next to me. They gave me their answer filled out, but they signed it. I didn't sign it. I won't sign it. Yeah, they let them sign it.
Well, yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, this is interesting. At the end of the day, it doesn't look like a free and fair election to me. It looks like we're having major disclosures that are ongoing. We all know that this election was not what the people of the United States deserved, or the contract the federal government has with us to give us the elections we are supposed to have, which are fair for everybody, so we don't have installed government officials. All right, now listen, don't you guys go anywhere. We're going to take a short break on the Big Mig Talk Radio Show, and we'll be right back.
Respected generals in the military.
He was, by definition, the most dangerous possible person for Donald Trump to hire.
Only brilliant military career serving 33 years.
Why was he being so elusive?
Mike Flynn told the truth and faced life in prison.
My name is General Mike Flynn, and I'm here to talk about a upcoming movie that I have coming out called Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. You can go to flynnmovie.com. 33 cities in 55 days. We're going to start in Florida, and we're going to work our way all the way around the nation. In this particular movie, I want to use it to raise the spirits of everybody, to inspire everybody, and to bring some hope to America, and that's what this movie will do. So thank you very much. God bless you. And God bless America.
Patriots, listen up. It's time to wake up and smell the freedom. Beard Vet Coffee is here to fuel your American spirit. This isn't just coffee. It's a battle cry in a cup, a declaration of love for the land of the free and the home of the brave. Crafted by the hands of those who've walked the walk, talked the talk, and, yeah, grown the damn beard. Vet founded, vet focused, and beard operated. Beard Vet Coffee. Make your mornings great again.
Welcome back to the Big Mig Talk Radio Show. Here with George Balanti and Lance Migliaccio, coming to you live from New York City and Denver, Colorado. We have election fraud going on across this country for how long now? Way before the 2020 election, but more importantly, we're focusing on 2020 today because the mail-in ballots. I mean, most importantly, what you could do to help our elections is get out there, register people to vote, work campaigns, become a poll watcher, poll challenger, and help clean up the voter rolls. That's most importantly. And actually, True to Vote, our friends at True to Vote, they do have a plan in place where you can help clean voter rolls in your state. I suggest you go find a link and get involved, because that's the only way we're going to take our country back, is to get involved. Lance, you think...
Yes, sir.
I was always wondering, my dad passed away 2 years ago, and I always wondered if a ballot was going to come in the mail. And you know what? I check to see if someone voted in his name now.
I mean, it's pretty interesting. You know, at the end of the day, you're right. These voter rolls are a mess. Now, here's crazy. There's more data on this thing that we haven't even gone into yet. We covered that in that first segment, and we discussed kind of some of the percentages. So they came up with this 1 in 5 on this Heartland Rasmussen survey. But what happened is that was kind of a number they settled on, and they thought it was a result of about 21%. But listen to this, George, in a subsequent comprehensive report, I guess it was published in 2024, Heartland's Jack McPheron, Chris Talgo, Donald Kendall, James Taylor. They published a more detailed study about this voter fraud survey. They got the raw data, and then they kind of went back all through it. Now, listen to this. They determined that the real number was like 28.2% of respondents who voted by mail admitted to at least one kind of voter fraud. So that means that more than one in four ballots cast by mail in 2020 could have been fraudulent, not one in five, as they originally asserted. What do you think of that? One in four.
You mean there's more voter fraud, Lance? I'm shocked. I'm really shocked.
I think this is just, this just goes to tell you that this whole mail-in ballot thing. I mean, you've got the machines that are an issue. We know that, right? You can't trust these machines. Scanner issues and all sorts of software issues. We've seen them hacked with a ballpoint pen and that Hack Bunny tool you can buy on Amazon for $100. I mean, that's disgusting enough. Now we've got these voter rolls, one in four. I mean, interesting that people admitted to it, but at the same time, you're right, I'm not shocked. I don't know how you feel about it.
You know, I'm going to bring up a quick topic that happened, I believe yesterday, or Thursday. They're doing this because they're going to try to cheat again, but if you notice what they did in Arizona and Michigan, where they both attorney generals came up with charges against the electors that tried to put in the vote electors for Donald Trump, which is legal what they were doing, by the way, everybody. It was totally legal, but they're just doing this as a scare tactic to stop people from doing it again. But why would they need to do that? Because they're planning on cheating again. It's the only viable solution because their candidate has no chance of winning legally.
Yeah, you mean old you're talking about old Mushbrain.
Yeah, Mushbrain.
Old Mushbrain Biden.
Can you call what he has a brain at this point?
No. Okay. No, I don't think so. Right. I don't think he's firing on all cylinders. I think he's got a bunch of misfires. There's no doubt. I mean, his people are going nuts. He can't, you know, they can't put him in a live interview because it's dangerous. But of course, he just did a live interview. I don't know how much you caught of this, George. Did you see this Howard Stern live interview scenario that popped off?
I'll be honest with you, Lance. I'm not a fan of Howard Stern. I never was.
Oh, either am I.
But, you know, it's always the same repetitive stuff, you know, antics. But how can you not miss it? Because anything with Biden's fatal flops is just there's so many new ones every week. It's so hard to keep track of them. It's amazing. They're now, when he comes off the helicopter on the White House lawn, his aides come out and they surround him so you don't see him shuffling and stop from asking questions now. That's their new tactic.
No, I did not see that. Yeah. It doesn't surprise me. And you're right. I'm not a Howard Stern fan. Every time I look at him, all I see is Fart Man with that dumb outfit. And at the end of the day, I think he's still caught in the 80s. And you're right, it's repetitive and boring at this point. I'm surprised he's still on the air. But at the end of the day, I always wanted Robin to spin off because I thought she might have a better show than him. But here's my point. You're right. He's gone. Now, listen to this. This was a surprise interview. There's lots of things in it. He actually said that he was ready to debate Trump. Of course, Trump's jumped on board with it. Of course, Biden's people are panicked. A live debate with Trump? I mean, you might as well throw Joe Biden into a wood chipper. There's no way he's going to have any success in that with Donald Trump. We know the drugs aren't working anymore, but listen to this line he popped off in the Stern interview. He claimed he got arrested standing on a porch with a black family during the civil rights movement.
Huh?
He got arrested standing on a porch with a black family during the civil rights movement. Now, for a lot of people, if you guys look around, you can see that Joe Biden was very close with the head of the Ku Klux Klan for years and years and years. There is no way he was doing anything to help anybody during the civil rights movement except helping himself. You can't make this kind of stuff up. This morning called into Howard Stern's show, unannounced appearance, supposedly, and then all of a sudden Biden joked with him and he said, I think I should leave now. Biden joked on Howard Stern. Howard Stern slobbered all over him. It was disgusting, just kissing his butt. I know everyone's going to think I'm doing a fake interview with you, but you are really here, Stern said. Are you kidding me? Come on, man. I mean, it's like childish the way he fawned over him. But this is another major gaffe, and people are pissed. The minorities are pissed about it, George. I don't know how much of the heat you've caught online.
Well, it seems that Biden comes up with these stories to fit his whatever situation's in. So, like, he's trying to garner back the black vote. Yeah. And so he comes up with the story that he got arrested sitting on a porch with a black family, which is, you know, it's not true. Yeah. Just for that saying, it's not true because he was part with the Ku Klux Klan. We know that. It was his dear friend. It's not hidden. That's a known fact. But every time he's out, wherever it's at, what was his last one? He was with something with the bridge, right? He traveled the bridge. When in fact, he didn't travel the bridge.
Every day. He's been a truck driver. His Uncle Bozy got eaten by cannibals.
Uncle Bozy got eaten by cannibals. Which kind of pissed off the New Guinea president, too. Yeah, by the way. So
I want to play the clip for the audience. You guys know we always bring the receipts when we make a claim. So, George, let's fire that baby up.
Got it. Here we go. Hold on. It's coming. Here we go.
And I looked at my mom. I said, honey, you haven't said anything. She said, Joey, let me remember. True story. She said, remember when they were desegregating Linfield, the neighborhood, with 70 homes built at one suburbia? And I told you, and there was a black family moving in, and there was people were down there protesting. I told you not to go down there, and you went down. Remember that? And you came, got arrested by standing on the porch with a black family.
Right.
And they brought you back, the police. And I said, yeah, Mom, I remember that.
You know, oh my, I just can't anymore.
What do you even say to that? This is the problem. Dementia and Alzheimer's, they create these really, you know, it happens to a lot of people. You get these memories that seem really genuine. And at the end of the day, this is the guy that's in control of the nuclear football. Well, I think we have a major problem. I'm surprised that everybody's going along with this the way they are. It's disgusting that the fact that they're using him the way they are. I know he likes it, probably loves the attention, but gosh, this is frightening, George.
If you notice with Biden also, this is why his handlers don't let him do live interviews, number one, because he does these lies, and two, he can't even do interviews off a teleprompter. 4 more years. Pause. That was his thing the other day.
But
he can't even read a teleprompter.
Or the ever classic, "My butt's been wiped."
Right. So
that was another good one.
So how do you think this is gonna work? Where he goes on a debate stage with Donald Trump, he's not gonna. They're not gonna debate. It's all show for his voters that he's going to do it.
And said it publicly now, so I'm not sure the gauntlet hasn't been thrown down.
He's going to have a call that day. Something's going to happen. Yeah. He ain't doing it. There's no way he can get in the debate.
I think they're going to have to get rid of him. I think we're going to get to hear about something very soon.
Because
I don't know. They can't. The glue's not keeping this guy. The glue and tape.
There is one way he will go on at the debate stage. And this is the only way I could see a path of him getting on that debate stage. It won't be him. It will be a body double. Because we all know that each president, they get body doubles. And with today's technology, they can make a full mask to go over somebody else's head that you can't even tell.
I can't argue that. I think that sounds like a really potential option for them. I mean, that's the only option they'd have would be somebody to double him. But at the end of the day, I guess we'll see what happens. Hopefully they'll stand up or man up for what they put out. But I guess you're probably right in what you're saying. Well, I've got to tell you, this next story I researched, George, vampire facials. I was completely unfamiliar with what they are. I had to look it up, but pretty frightening. Story breaks out, getting vampire facial, at least 3 women contracted HIV. And when we come back, we're going to discuss stay away from the vampires and especially facials that give you HIV. Big MIG Talk Radio Show, we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
All right, we're back here with the Big MIG Talk Radio Show with your host, George Valentin, Lance Migliaccio, and vampires are coming back to life? No, it's not that. We're just going over to this vampire facial that, unfortunately, three women contracted HIV. Now, I didn't really know what vampire facial was. I had to look this up, and I'll tell you, it's not what you think it is. The name came about because it's more or less microseeding with plasmas, and they put that plasma, like rub it back in your face, and you know that's how the term vampire came up.
Microneedling, I guess.
Needling, yeah.
Yeah, microneedling. So I know what that is. Obviously, my wife has a spa where she does that kind of work, so I understand that. I guess it's with PRP, which is actually a kind of a, like a stem cell type product, from my understanding, but it's a cosmetic procedure. So they draw your own blood from your arm, they separate these platelets, and then they apply them back onto your face. So I guess there's lots of benefits, allegedly, younger skin. And, you know, I'm afraid to say this has this little inkling of like adrenochrome almost to me. It kind of makes me a little uneasy. I'm not sure whether or not that's what it is or not, but it kind of has a little tingling of it.
Not at all, Lance. They actually take your own blood. They spin it in a little spinner machine. They separate it where the plasmas are separated, and they use that where after the microneedling, where they make those little like holes in your face, and then it, take your plasma blood, rub it in there, and that's how the plasma gets in and starts the healing process. Actually, you
how did these people get HIV from it?
I'm going to tell you.
I'm confused.
I got the answer. Listen, we bring the receipts, the truth. We are the tip of the spear here. So they got it, these three women, because they went to an unlicensed facility. Unlicensed people, yeah. So whoever was doing the work was unlicensed, so they're not schooled in the procedures to keep your needles and all your instruments clean and
so unsanitary, huh?
There you go, unsanitary. That's how that happened. Because I looked it up actually this morning, early this morning, and look in my area, and there's a lot of places like. Very well-known places that do this. This is not like something, a new technique or nothing. It's been done and they're all licensed. So that is the difference. Because like anything else, you go to anything that somebody that's not educated in how to do something properly, you don't know if you're going to get the right treatment. It's just like when people go to these unlicensed Botox people and they get all these, their faces are so blotched up and messed up because they don't know what to do when they're, you know, injecting the Botox. You know, it's the same thing.
I've never been a big fan of thinking that injecting botulism was a good idea. But I guess at the end of the day, people, vanity will sometimes get you to make decisions that might not be the smartest. I guess this investigation is the first that actually associated HIV transmission with non-sterile cosmetic injection services. At the end of the day, though, it's still pretty frightening. You'd have to be worried about that. And I don't know. Well, vanity over being safe, you know, and how do you know whether the license is hanging on the wall is legitimate or not when you go into these salons?
Well, I mean, that's why you should research the salon, make sure they're known, prominent, like reviews. And you can actually go get
You would get one of these facials, George. Would you actually go get a vampire facial?
What, Lance? If I could afford it, I think I might. I would do it. Why not?
Vanity. George shows his vanity on air.
It's not vanity, man. Like, you know, skin can always use a nice tightening or cleanup. You know, listen, my skin's taking a bunch of hits with fights and everything. It's got some marks and it's beat up a little bit. It's still a good-looking face, but, you know, why not tweak it up a little bit? But,
yeah,
Lance,
I don't know.
Listen. All they're doing is putting little holes in my face, using my own blood, rubbing it back in. Right? Why not? Do you put lotion on your body?
I put lotion, but I'm not thinking about drawing any blood and rubbing it all over my face. I'll leave that to you, George. I've never let vanity get over me. I'm going to age gracefully with what I've got. I got plenty of bruises and swollen parts of my face and scars. At the end of the day, I figure it's part of the history of the Lance Migliaccio.
You know the only problem with this, getting this procedure, is the recovery time. So if you get, there's two, they do a more in-depth, like they say it's like a harder needling versus a less invasive. So if you do that, it takes like a week of recovery. So you'll have blotches and stuff. So how would I look going on camera? on the Big Mig show on Rumble with all these blotches on my face.
I think you'd be looking like a swollen pumpkin, actually.
I was thinking about like, oh man, I'd have to take a vacation or something.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, you're right. I don't think you can go on the Big Mig looking like you're swollen, like somebody,
It's not so much swollen. You're not swollen. It's just like you get red blotches.
Well, actually, microneedling does cause some swelling, actually, because I know my wife. I've seen her get it. I've seen some bruising and swelling, depending on the sensitivity. So at the end of the day, I have to tell you that, in fact, it will cause that. But I guess it depends on the service. Well, in the meantime, trillions of loud, sexually aroused cicadas set to engulf the United States. I guess there's this giant once in a lifetime. I think it's only happened two times in history. Oh, yeah, there's Donald two cicada broods.
Sorry.
Two cicada broods that are set for a rare double emergence. That last occurred in 1803 when Thomas Jefferson was president.
There they are, Lance. The cicadas came out.
Well, I got to tell you, 1803, Thomas Jefferson, maybe one of the last times we actually had a country that seemed to make sense. But, man, this is crazy. I guess this is going to be one giant month. They're saying there's going to be up to a trillion of them, George. They're going to be all over the suburbs. Now, you guys have a lot of them back east. Because I grew up in New York, obviously.
We do?
Oh, yeah. You have tons of them back there.
Come on. I thought this was only happening in the South. What are you talking about?
Well, I don't know if it's only going to happen in the South, but I'm telling you that cicadas in New York, I mean, where I lived, where I grew up, after we moved out of Fordham Road in the Bronx, we lived in White Plains, New York. The cicadas were crazy loud, and there were just tons of them. So I would assume that they would also be part of this emergence, even though maybe it's in the South somewhat. But this is weird because I guess there's two broods that are actually coming out, like a rare double emergence thing. And
isn't it amazing how they're in the ground for how many years and all of a sudden they come out alive?
I think it's nuts. I mean, it's obviously a natural wonder, and it's pretty incredible. For people that haven't seen them or don't know about them, I think it's going to be amazing. Probably
there
lots
they are.
Of kids.
That's
weird
what they
kids.
Sound like, Lance. Yeah. Hold on,
do
ready?
Do you have the noise? Go ahead. Let me hear. Let's hear them for the audience, maybe for people that haven't heard them before.
That's an annoying sound you're going to hear amplified by I don't know how many times.
They're much louder than that. We actually looked for some sound bites that had to do with the noise, and it was hard to find them. Because I was actually shocked they could produce such a loud noise. They crawl to the ground, and they shed their little shell, and then they go right up into the trees. You won't see them a lot.
When are they predicting this is going to happen?
I don't know exactly. I don't know if it's pinned down to a date. Normally, here's the weird part. They only emerge every 13 to 17 years.
Hmm.
Now, you'll get some small amounts, but the big broods only come out like that. So I guess there's going to be some overlap, and they're talking about being in Illinois and the Carolinas.
Yeah, it's but, that's what I'm talking about. It's Illinois, yeah, but Lance, I just want to add this. So I take... When somebody calls me a conspiracy theorist, I take that as a badge of honor because, you know, it really means you're bringing the truth. However, in this instance, when these cicadas come out, I'm sure the conspiracy theorists are going to come out. Look, it's biblical. It's in the Bible.
Yeah.
I see it already. I'm going to call it as it is.
Well, they're definitely going to be the large swarms. I guess these swarms have already heard twice, so I guess we'll have to wait and see. I don't know if you heard this, George. Romania gave the green light, Andrew and Tristan Tate. The trafficking case is moving forward. I think that's pretty crazy. Obviously, these guys are big internet personalities. I personally am not a big fan of theirs. I think their whole misogynist kind of spin and getting young people to give money and also the fact that they're putting these girls out on stables on OnlyFans and otherwise, I don't think it's a good thing. But he was indicted in June along with his brother. And it looks like the human trafficking for rape and forming a criminal gang to sexually exploit women. They're denying, of course, and their attorneys are up in arms. The Romanian law says, in fact, they are guilty, at least based on the way the case has been filed. But I guess we're going to have to wait and see. What are your thoughts, man?
I'm not a big fan of Tate. I mean, he's admitted to actually having women and running these, I'm going to call them whatever farms, like OnlyFans, other sites. So he's admitted to that. And he's taking advantage of women. He's very egotistical. I mean, I'm not a fan. There was a video the other day of him doing like a real flamboyant gay dance.
I saw that.
Like, come on. I don't get the guy, and his ego is beyond the size of this earth, you know, and he can go kick rocks. If he, you know, if all these allegations are true, send him to the clink.
Well, I say this, he is a self-described misogynist. He's gained millions of fans, there's no doubt. He promotes this ultra-masculine lifestyle. And obviously that denigrates women the way he does it and the way he makes money. But, you know, I guess it is what it is. We'll have to wait and see what happens in the courts. When we come back, we're going to be talking about how KJP, the press secretary, can't be fired because she's a black lesbian. You heard it right. Biden White House is trying to oust her. But we're going to talk about that when we come back on the Big MIG Talk radio show. You guys don't go anywhere. You know, we're going to be here dropping truth bombs.
Yeah, don't go
the receipts.
Don't go anywhere like KGP won't leave the White House.
Yeah, exactly. Stay tuned.
Gear up for your toughest jobs or your most rugged excursions. Introducing Sea of Mud Apparel, your go-to destination for clothing that embodies the relentless spirit of rural America. Let your clothes speak for you. Embrace quality, comfort, and the American way. Shop now at seaofmud.com.
Patriots, listen up. It's time to wake up and smell the freedom. Beard Vet Coffee is here to fuel your American spirit. This isn't just coffee. It's a battle cry in a cup, a declaration of love for the land of the free and the home of the brave. Crafted by the hands of those who've walked the walk, talked the talk, and, yeah, grown the damn beard. Vet founded, vet focused, and beard operated. Beard Vet Coffee. Make your mornings great again.
Former National Security Advisor, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, pleaded guilty today for lying to the FBI.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
He was, by definition, the most dangerous possible person for Donald Trump to hire.
Only brilliant military career serving 33 years.
Why was he being so elusive?
Mike Flynn told the truth and faced life in prison.
My name is General Mike Flynn, and I'm here to talk about a upcoming movie that I have coming out called Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. You can go to flynnmovie.com. 33 cities in 55 days. We're going to start in Florida, and we're going to work our way all the way around the nation. In this particular movie, I want to use it to raise the spirits of everybody, to inspire everybody, and to bring some hope to America, and that's what this movie will do. So thank you very much. God bless you. And God bless America.
Okay, we're back. Big MIG Talk Radio with Lance Migliaccio, George Valentin, coming to you live on a beautiful Saturday morning in New York City and not so beautiful in Colorado. It's rainy and cold there, Lance says. What are you going to do? Anyways, I can't believe that the White House cannot push Karine Jean-Pierre, a.k.a. Afro Chucky, out of the White House. They've been trying to do this since last year. But, you know, these LGBTQ, they think they're above the law, above rights, that they're above everybody. And, you know, they're going to pull the race card, any card they'll pull to stay in their position, which is BS. You know, she just won't leave. Why not? Because she's a black lesbian, Lance.
This is a New York Post story. You know, this is what happened when you use those DEI woke initiatives to hire people. According to this report, though, it sounds like Biden surrogates tried to oust White House Press Secretary KJP last October, but failed. And they tried to push her out, but I guess she just won't leave, George. And I guess the biggest problem they have is that she's a black lesbian. Of course, she announced that, you know,
immigrant too, Lance.
Proudly at the very beginning. What?
Add the immigrant too. She's a black, gay, lesbian immigrant woman.
And of course, because of all that, we're stuck with the dumbest press secretary in U.S. history. But this is what's happening, right? We see this initiative. They're running our military. They're in our cities, in our schools, in our hospitals. That's the problem, right? You hire through this woke agenda, and then you're stuck because if you go ahead and fire them, now all of a sudden you're in the news, you're being attacked. And I'm sure the Biden White House can't take too many more attacks with all the screw-ups they're doing.
Well, Lance, you know, we both know that she sucks. She's terrible. Why does the Biden White House or Biden want to get rid of her? What are they basing these allegations on? That she sucks too?
I mean, I guess most press secretaries only, they say the lifetime, normally they're about a year and a half. I didn't really notice that, but I guess, and I guess they tried to use insiders to kind of initiate her leaving, tell her, you know, you've been there and you've had great success, might be time to move on. But of course, maybe it doesn't have any offers on the table.
I was just going to go there, Lance. I was going to say she won't leave because nobody else wants her. That's why she won't leave. Because she sucks.
I think you might have nailed it.
She sucks.
She's hoping she's going to get some CNN, MSNBC offer, yada, 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 yada. You know, but if I were them, what I would do is I would kind of demote her into a different position. I'd move her from press secretary to some other spot where she can't do any more damage than she's already done. Of course, for you and I, it's probably great that she's in that position because she is doing damage and it's probably good for us.
But what I don't understand is they can fire her. Why don't they just fire her? What are they afraid of?
They're afraid of the fallout. They already know that Biden is getting his butts kicked in the polls. So at the end of the day, this would just be one more blow for them.
So,
and you know,
they'd rather have someone that sucks at a position and continue to suck at a position instead of reaping a fallout, right? What does that say?
That's DEI woke agenda. Yeah, it does suck. But, you know, there's lots of things that suck, including Harvey Weinstein case was overturned in New York. Man, there's some serious outrage over this. I'm shocked. I can't believe they overturned that case. I thought it was lock solid. What do you think, George?
I didn't look into why it got overturned. What was the basis on it? You're the lawman. You'll tell me. But just so everybody knows, he's still serving his prison time in California. He's not going anywhere. So,
yeah, I mean, there's definitely truth in that. Of course, the sentence in New York was much stiffer. There were a lot of things that went wrong based on at least the report I saw. And that 16-year rape sentence handed down in California, you're right, that probably isn't going anywhere yet, although they're going to try to overturn that too. But man, there's so many actresses and people that have come out. So there was a bunch of them that obviously accused him of assault, and they were shocked by what happened. Rosanna Arquette, which I'm not a big fan, but anyway, she's obviously been very vocal. Ashley Judd, Myra Sorvino. And they spoke out about the 2020 conviction for rape. And I don't know, George. Here's one quote that I think is interesting. This is Arquette. She says, Harvey was rightfully convicted. It's unfortunate that the court has overturned his conviction. As a survivor, I am beyond disappointed. I think it's fair. I mean, if that's really what happened, and here's Ashley Judd. This is unfair to survivors. We live in our truth. We know what happened. Now, she was one of the first to come forward with the allegations. Now, Harvey Weinstein, there has been so many stories that come out about him. You know, it's right in that same vein as P. Diddy. I don't know.
Yeah, P. Diddy kind of quieted down, too.
A broken judicial system, don't you think?
Yeah, 100%. Our judicial system needs to be overhauled. But you just brought up P. Diddy. We got crickets now on him. What happened to his story? What's going on? Who's working on behind the scenes? Get that squashed. I wonder who. Could it be Biden himself? Kamala?
I don't know. It's interesting. Listen to this quote from Ambra Batalana Gutierrez. I guess she's a model and a Weinstein accuser. This is an ongoing failure of the justice system and the courts to take survivors seriously and to protect our interests. Bragg ran for office in 2021 because his predecessor failed so many of us. We expect him to pursue Weinstein now.
Are they going to? Go ahead. Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Are they going to attempt? New York is going to attempt to try him.
Well, I don't believe the charges were dismissed with prejudice. with prejudice would mean they wouldn't have the right to go back and try him. I believe they just dismissed him based on appeal. So I do believe they would have a chance to go back and retry him. Part of the screw up, I guess, is that they used a lot of information that hadn't been validated during this case. And I think that's what they used as justification to saying that the jury had been jaded.
No.
By material that wasn't proven.
No. So I just looked it up real quick. They said an, divided 4-3 ruling, the state court of appeal said the trial judge made a critical mistake by letting women testify that Weinstein assaulted them, even though their accusations were not part of the charges he faced. Well, guess what then, Weinstein? These women can now come up with these charges and add more charges if they care to retry him, which they should. So,
and that's what I said. They used some testimony that hadn't been validated. They brought in people that weren't part of the original charges. So that lacked the validation for them to be witnesses. But again, I guess we're going to have to wait and see what happens.
But here's
pretty interesting, though.
Yeah, I want to
listen, George.
Hold on. I want to add something to this. This is why I say in this country, if you go to court and trial and you get sentenced and it gets overturned because a judge made mistakes, he should no longer be a judge then. And I'm pretty sure we'd stop a lot of these so-called mistakes.
I don't know. It's one of those close calls. At the end of the day, the judicial system does need an overhaul. George, are you seeing that Biden is calling, and a lot of people on both sides of the aisle aren't happy. They're calling for record high taxes. And they're saying that when you take this capital gains, 44.6% they're trying to do, and you bring in the actual tax rate, you're looking at 50% rates. We got a piece of media I think we should play to start this story off.
Okay, here we go. Bring it up.
All right, Donald Trump in a courthouse, and Joe Biden trying to take advantage of that by popping up in the Keystone State of Pennsylvania today, making his pitch for fairness and equity in the tax system, and that the rich pay their fair share. He's talking about a 25% minimum tax that the wealthy should pay so that they're all doing their part. Kevin O'Leary, O'Leary Ventures chairman, Shark Tank investor. What he makes of that? Kevin, I think what the president's saying about, and I'm not saying you, but guys like you, is you're getting away with tax murder and you got to pay up. What do you think?
This narrative's gone on forever. It's ageless. Let's get everybody to pay their fair share. The determination of what the fair share is changes from administration to administration. But the core issue, and I think the way to look at it, is America is the most successful economy on earth. Two-thirds of the jobs are created by entrepreneurs that start companies. You don't want to tax them to oblivion. You want to have a fair share that's progressive for everybody. So the more you make, more tax you pay, that's fair. But you also have to look at where you are in world competition, where you sit in the G20. You want to be right in the middle. The minute you really start raising taxes and they become uncompetitive, either at the state level, you see everybody leaving New York and going to Florida or to Texas or to lower jurisdictions where taxes are. Same thing happens with countries. So you got to be very careful. Biden's proposals, and look, I admire what he wants to do, but the more he taxes, the less growth there'll be, and that's the risk.
So the other risk is making people think the rich don't pay taxes. Right now, the top 1% account for almost half the taxes collected. And by the way, a lot of people say, well, they are also rich. They make a lot of money, but that's double the amount of wealth they represent in this country. So they are paying that part, but this is something that politically sticks. So how should they respond? How do you think of those who are against this notion of just taxing the rich or taxes, period, should respond?
To get rich, they had to be wildly successful. Let's just take a Bezos or what's happened with Elon Musk. They've created hundreds of thousands of jobs. They have created economies that are derivatives to the companies they've made. That's the essence.
Well, Lance, Michael Leary says it best. You know, capitalism in this country, but if you want to overtax these companies that, you know, startups, they're going to leave. They're going to take their business out of country. We've seen this time and time again.
Yeah. This is a sad state of affairs. We're going to see the impact of this. It's not good business. You massive inflation over the Biden administration exceeding 18%. This is brutal. You have to keep in mind that these are bad choices for the long term. I got to tell you, hopefully we'll see it at the polls. People will make them pay for this, George.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. You know, Vote November, vote Trump if you want to get out of this mess and you want your families to grow up without crime and grow up to be prosper. Lance, we're going to be closing out. Don't forget to follow us on all social media, The Big Mig, Lance Migliaccio, George Ballantine. Have a blessed weekend. We'll see you all next week. Stay frosty and God bless.